pray that you would open our eyes today. Pray that you'd be with us as we go into a little ministry of your word, that you would give us things that would encourage us, that would edify us, that help us to draw one step closer to you and get the victory in this day over all the things that we're going through. We ask you to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. And while you're standing, let's take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 3. Now, with your permission, or maybe without, because I'm going to do it anyway, I'm going to do portions of this in Spanish, because we got our sister Dahlia here, and we don't have Brother Juan here. He's translating somewhere else. So you'll excuse me if I say a few things in Spanish throughout the course. For our sister. Okay? Okay, muy bien. It's Exodus chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 7, siete. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptian and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may take your seats. So it's Exodus 3, 7 hasta 9, hermana. And we're going to talk about, I have heard, I have seen, I have come down. In español, he escuchado, he visto, he venido. I have heard, I have seen, I have come down. Now, here's the surprising thing about this. Exodus 3, well, perhaps this isn't surprising, but Exodus 3 happens after Exodus 1 and Exodus 2. Then comes Exodus 3. So if we look in Exodus chapter 1, we find God blessing the children of Israel, multiplying them. In Exodus 1, hay bendiciones y multiplicaciones para los hijos de Israel. And then they start to fall into bondage. And the Pharaoh says they're getting too powerful, and so we're going to make them our slaves. Okay? And Exodus chapter 2 is the story of Moses and how he goes through, gets brought up by Pharaoh's daughter. Okay. Exodus 2:2 is Moses, los hijos de Israel, es esclavos. And now it's not until the end of Exodus chapter 2, until they've gone through all of that, that we hear anything about the children of Israel crying out to God. Now, fin de Exodus 2, los hijos de Israel clama por Dios. Okay? That's verse 23. And it's saying, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And that's really interesting, because sometimes you wonder, when we get into problems, Do we cry to God early enough? Es muy interesante porque cuando problemas vienen, necesito clamar a Dios temprano, rápido. So, God says, I have heard their cry. And that's the first thing. God hears. And God hears our cry. And then he says, I have seen their bondage. I've actually come down and I've looked and I've seen that. Yeah, I was talking to Emma yesterday. Emma had a hard day at work on Friday, okay? She had a couple of kids who got tussling and one of them split their lip open. And so she had to grab the kid and like put a compress on the lip. And the kid screaming and shouting and, you know, struggling. And she said, ah, it was stressful. But she said, normally when I'm in the daycare, there's four kinds of crying that I, you know, I come across, okay? And I can hear the cry, and it falls into one of four categories, okay? The first category is kids just crying. There's nothing wrong. They just want attention. There's absolutely nothing wrong. They're crying, okay? I'm going to try and remember this. Like, the second category was... Okay, they think that something is wrong. Genuinely, they believe that something is wrong with all their hearts, but nothing's wrong. Okay? Now, I think the third category was, there is something wrong, but it's not very serious, and they think it's really serious. Okay, that's the third category. And the fourth category is, they're crying because there's something seriously wrong, and there's actually something seriously wrong, and they need immediate attention. All right, so four categories. And I'm pretty sure God looks at us when we cry out to him and he's like, which of those four categories are you crying out to me in? Okay? Cuatro categorías de clama cuando un niño, cuando no hay nada problema, cuando un poquito problema, pero los niños piensan que es el mejor problema, pero no está. Clama cuando hay un problema, pero no es serio. Y clama cuando hay un problema serio y la niña clama muy, muy fuerte. Y cuando nosotros clamamos a Dios, tal vez Dios también piensa en cuál de estas cuatro categorías es su clama. ¿Entiendes? Okay. So we can cry to God, but he's going to hear us, and he might be like, yeah, get up. You're not hurt that bad. It's something within your control. Okay? He's going to have a look. He's going to see. Okay? Sometimes he's going to be like, well, maybe you need a hug. But I've got other things to do. Or maybe you need a hug, I'll come down and give you a hug. But sometimes we cry to him in such a way that he says, this is the real deal. I'm on the spot straight away. Okay? I have heard and I have seen and I have come down. I heard the children of Israel. All right? I saw what the issue was, and it's serious enough, I'm coming down. And that's what we're looking at today, the Lord hearing, the Lord seeing, and the Lord coming down. Let's turn to Genesis 18. We can see the same pattern. Genesis 18, el mismo patrón. And we can read it in verse 20. Genesis 18, 20. 18:20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Entonces, Jehová le dijo, por cuanto al clamor contra Sodoma y Gomorra, si aumenta más y más, y al pecado de ellos si agravado en extremo, descendiere ahora y veré si hay consumado su obra según al clamor que han venido hasta mí, y si no lo sabe. I have heard, I am seeing, I am come down. Because now we're also talking about when God comes, he comes to deliver. Cuando Dios viene, él viene para librar. But to deliver, yeah? So I was looking at the word savior. I told a few of you this. It means the watchful destroyer. The watchful destroyer. So why is the watchful destroyer a savior? Well, we think about a shepherd. Growing up in England, we think about a shepherd. He's got a crook and he's walking around, and his main job is to keep the sheep in the pasture, because they'll jump the fence if he doesn't, okay? That's kind of how we think of a shepherd, because we live in a, let's call it a sanitized society, yeah? David was a shepherd who didn't live in a sanitized society. He was out in the wilderness where there were lions, where there were bears, where there were wolves, where there were immediate threats to the sheep. So he had to be the watchful destroyer. Why? Because when the lion comes, he's going to take one of the sheep. And unless the shepherd is watching and is prepared to destroy the lion, the sheep is going to die. All right? Salvador es igual a algún que mirar y algún que destruir, porque los ovejos tienen los enemigos peligrosos, y cuando la pastor no mira para el enemigo y no destruir al enemigo, las ovejas morir. Y nosotros son las ovejas de Dios, y Él mira sobre nosotros para buscar al enemigo para destruir. Okay? So we're God's sheep, and he's watching over us. He's looking for the enemy, ready to destroy it. So he comes to deliver us, but in that delivery is destruction for what's holding us captive and salvation for the things that are being held captive. So there's two sides to this. And so when God came down and he said, there are people living under the oppression of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to destroy the sin. All right? So our shepherd isn't some lovey-dovey guy with a staff and a harp who's singing and keeping the sheep in the pasture. Our shepherd is a battle-hardened veteran who is on the lookout for the eagles that will take the lamb, for the lions that will take the sheep, for the bears, for the thieves. All right? It's kind of a different perception, right? Oh, and it just makes me feel good to deliver the oppressed and to judge the oppressor. And God said, I just love this thought. God said, what's the biggest enemy my children face? Death. Sin. That's the enemy I'm going to destroy first. It's going to take a battle, and it might cost me my life, but the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Amen. ¿Cuál es el enemigo mejor que todos de nosotros? Por todos de nosotros es pecado, es la muerte. Y Jesús viene y dice, ¿cuál es este enemigo? Yo ataqué a este enemigo para batalla, para morir, para libre mi familia de este enemigo. Okay? But to do that, he has to hear, he has to see, and he has to come. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 11. Primera de Samuel 11. I want to ask you, what enemies are you facing in your life? And I want to ask you, what enemies do you see others facing in their lives? All right? Mi pregunta, ¿cuál es el enemigo en su vida? ¿Y cuál es el enemigo en la vida de otros alrededor de ti? ¿Cuál es este enemigo? What is the enemy that you're facing? And look at that enemy, and what's that enemy trying to do? So, in the beginning of chapter 11, then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. Jabesh was on the top, kind of, let's say, the northeast side of Israel, the other side of Jordan. It was kind of in the top right-hand corner, if you look on a map. And they were attacked, and they were under such desperate situation that they said, make a pact with us. We'll serve you. Just don't kill us. Versículo 2. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach unto all Israel. This is what the enemy wants to do to us. He wants us to make a compromise that will make us lose sight and be a reproach to God. Okay? And sometimes we feel like we have no option but to surrender. And folks, this may be talking about something in your life, or it may be talking about something in the life of someone else around you, that it looks like they've got no option but to surrender, and they're going to be permanently damaged by what they're going through. Not a pleasant situation. The elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. And if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. But God had anointed Saul as king. And when Saul heard of this situation, okay, then came messengers, versículo 4, then came messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of all the people, and all the people lifted up their voice and wept. And behold, Saul came out after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. Why? Because God had heard, God had seen, and God had come down. And who did he come down into? His appointed person. Yeah? Which was Saul. His appointed person for the job. Saul heard, Saul saw, and the Spirit of God came down on Saul, and Saul came to the problem with the Spirit of God in him and solved the problem. Brothers and sisters, entiende, hermana, que el Espíritu de Dios escucha las clamas de las ellos de Gibeá. Y visto el problema y venido en el cuerpo de su siervo, Saúl. Y cuando el Espíritu de Dios viene en Saúl, él tiene poder para pelear contra el enemigo y liberar esta ciudad. Y para nosotros también, algunas veces mira algún en ellos alrededor de Dios, de nosotros, y Dios pone su Espíritu sobre nosotros para liberar ellos en problemas alrededor de nosotros. So God brings the Spirit of God on us to act for others, and we are the vehicle of what He's trying to do. God hears, God sees, and God comes. You know, it's for those of you who love your Bible, the connection I just made, it's so interesting. This had such a profound effect on the men of Jabesh-Gilead that when Saul was killed and disgraced and hung up on the walls of the cities of Philistine, which was in the southwest corner on the coast of Israel. Okay? They came all the way from the northeast, crossed the river, came all the way to the southwest to take his body and the body of Jonathan and bury them. Okay? And deliver them from shame. And sometimes, you know, we get into situations where maybe someone who's the Lord has worked in the past has lost the anointing. Maybe someone the Lord has worked in the past has turned away. And the enemy is hanging them up and saying, see, look at the shame they bring to God. But if we've seen the Spirit of God moving in them, and if that, let's be like the men of Jabesh-Gilead, not point and mock and say, look what went wrong, but steal away and say, I'll bear that shame myself. Okay? So, but without the Spirit of God, you can hear and see and not have God come down. And that's what happened to Saul later in chapter 17. And this is the story of David and Goliath.
Sin el Espíritu de Dios, tú puedes escuchar, tú puedes visto, pero Dios no puede venir porque tú es separado del Espíritu de Dios.
So if you're separated from the Spirit of God, He can't come down on you. So it behoves us to live lives that don't separate us from the Spirit of God. So when we get into these troublesome situations in our lives, but also when we see the devil troubling others, we can bring this presence of God into the situation. I'm not going to read it. It's the story of David and Goliath. David sees Goliath. Saul sees Goliath. David hears Goliath. Saul hears Goliath. But because David is God's chosen, the Spirit of God can come down on him. And he says, who's this Philistine to stand against the armies of the living God? But Saul, who's separated from God at this time, sees the same thing, but the Spirit of God doesn't come down on him as it did for Jabesh-Gilead. Okay? So this is a lesson to us to watch the way we live our lives, to make sure that we're always in a position where the Spirit of God can come down on us when God needs to send a deliverer, that we can be that deliverer.
Primera de Samuel 17 está la historia de Goliath. Y el Espíritu de Dios está separado de Saúl. Y Saúl escucha las mismas cosas de David. Saúl ve las mismas cosas de David, pero por causa de esta separación de Saúl y Dios, el Espíritu de Dios no puede venir en Saúl, pero puede venir en David. Y esta es una... necesita escuchar esta para vivir nuestras vidas en manera que nos separa del Espíritu de Dios. Porque cuando vienen problemas para nosotros o para ellos alrededor de nosotros, sin el Espíritu de Dios, Dios no puede venir en nosotros para ayudar a los alrededor de nosotros. Without the Spirit of God. But we said Jesus came down to take on the biggest enemy, the enemy of death. Praise God, he did. But I want to show you something really interesting in the scripture. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Hay algo muy interesante en la escritura, en Marcos 5. La historia de Jairo, the story of Jairus. I'm not going to spend too much time here, but I want you to think of this. All right. Verse 22, versículo 22. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. Okay. So Jairus believed in this, that God hears, God sees, and God comes. Jairo cree en esto que Dios escucha, Dios visto y Dios venido. But he was caught up in saying, I have to have God's prophet to see. I have to have God's prophet to hear. And I have to have God's prophet to come. Okay? Jairo dice que necesita el cuerpo de Jesucristo escucha, el cuerpo visto, el cuerpo Veni y ora para mi hijo. Okay? He says, you have to come. Come and heal my daughter. I need your person here. All right? And that's good. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall anoint them with oil. They shall recover. It also says they'll pray for the sick. All right? But God sees everything. God hears everything. And God can come anywhere. And in the story of Jesus, we find a change from the physical into the spiritual. All right? En la historia de Jesucristo hay un cambio afuera de la cuerpo y entra en el espiritual. Mira esta. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. San Mateo 8. Versículo 5. Verse 5, and when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. I've heard you. I will come and lay my eyes, and I will come and lay my hands and heal him. But the centurion says, no, no, no. Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Okay? And so there's a change here where you say, and listen, it's always been the case. God has always seen spiritually. God has always heard spiritually. It's not like he needs a big physical ear and an eardrum to hear your prayers. Okay? But for the children of Israel, he manifested it in the physical so they could learn his ways in the physical and then transition to understanding his ways in the spiritual. And Jesus came to make that transition. Just like you say to a child, okay, watch me walk. You don't say to a child, you walk. And they're like, ooh, that looks like a lot more efficient way of getting around than crawling on my butt. Okay, scooting along. Okay, and that demonstration, they see you doing something and they try and imitate it. And they're like, oh, wow, look at me. I can be like you. Okay. So God wants us to be like him. And so first of all, he shows us examples in this realm. And then as we follow those examples in this realm, it unlocks the keys into the spiritual realm. And then we can follow him in the spiritual. But the spiritual is where everything is first. Do you understand what I mean by that? Okay. And so the centurion had caught onto something that this is a spiritual thing, that God doesn't need to be on the scene to be on the scene. I don't have to see God for him to see me. I don't have to hear God for him to hear me. Okay? I don't have to feel God for him to be here working for me. Okay? Hay un cambio. Cambio de los pensamientos del cuerpo, de los pensamientos del espíritu. Jairo dice los pensamientos del cuerpo porque necesita el cuerpo de Jesús para orar por su hija. Pero el centurión, él dice, solo habla la palabra porque el centurión entender que algún en el espíritu pasa. Porque Dios es en el espíritu. Y mostrar algún en el cuerpo para nosotros, para aprender cuál es en el espíritu. So we talk to God by faith. We put him in action. We put him in action, you know. We see him in action. We ask for him to come in action by faith, not by the physical anymore. So, God hears, God sees, and God comes. And Jesus tried to open this to his disciples. Okay, so God hears. Let's go to Luke 18. Dios escucho. Mira en San Lucas 18, 1 hasta 7, 1 to 7. And he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him and said, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So, God hears. And sometimes God hears and he's like, nah, that's a cry number two. You're in a little bit of problems, but I've already given you the tools to sort it out. Just get on with it. Come on. You know? Come on. There was a story of a, I'm trying to remember it. It just comes to mind. Brother Branham, there was a brother that said something like, Brother Branham, I keep losing my temper. And he was like, well, stop losing your temper. You know? You don't need me to come and pray a mighty prayer of deliverance. You just need to exercise self-control. It's within your power to do. Okay? Lord, help me to exercise the gifts that you've put in me of self-control, right? But sometimes it gets to that. It's a number four cry, okay? And I'm coming down to help you, all right? But cry unto God straight away. Don't be like the children of Israel that we read about, where we don't get to them crying to God till the end of chapter 2. Now, I'm sure they were crying to God beforehand, all right? But there was something that changed at the end of chapter 2 that said, now is the time. So let's pray to God till now is the time. And if now isn't the time, we're going to keep praying till now is the time. Does that make sense? Don't be discouraged. Even if someone says they're not going to record their testimony, you're going to keep asking, Brother David, and keep asking. Until you do, right? I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged. And if we can do that in our relationship with each other, how much more should we be able to do it in our relationship with God? If we can get beyond the physical, all right? Because it's easy for me to keep on bugging Brother David. Because I see him every week at church, all right? But sometimes it isn't so easy for us to, if I can put it this way, to keep on bugging God, because maybe we don't see God in the same way that we see Brother David at church, because we're looking too much with our physical eyes and not enough with our spiritual eyes and saying, God sees me and God is with me. Entonces, orar y no desmayar, porque Dios escucha la hora de fe. Y algunas veces, cuando clama a Dios, Dios dice, oh, solo está una clama número dos. Tú no tienes problemas. Tú tienes fuerza en su mismo para vencer en este problema. Pero algunos tiempos, Dios dice, ok, es un clama número cuatro que necesito ven para librar. Pero todo el tiempo necesito orar porque Dios escucha. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. God sees. Proverbios 15, 3. Los ojos de Jehová están en todo lugar, mirando a los malos y a los buenos. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. But you know, there's a scripture. Hay una scriptura in Genesis, I think it's 8. 8. And I'm turning there because I got my Spanish English Bible and I don't know the words, so I'm going to just read it. So it helps the translation. God remembered Noah. Y se acuerdo Dios de Noé. God remembered. Does that mean God forgot him? No. It just means now was the time to act on the situation. Does that mean God couldn't see him the whole time? No, his eye was on him the whole time. It's just now, he says, now is the time. Okay? So God is watching us all the time. All right? Like the shepherd watching his sheep, waiting for that sheep to bleat and say, ah, there's a lion coming. And the shepherd looks over and is like, that's not a lion, it's a bush. Okay? You know how in the dark things play tricks on your mind? Okay? But the sheep, ah, there's a lion coming. Oh, yeah, there is a lion coming. I better be active. So he's just as attentive when it's a bush as when it's a lion, because if it's a lion, he has to be there. So God is attending to us all the time. And we cry, and he looks, and sometimes his attention is taken, and sometimes he's like, nah, get on with it. Okay? The fullness of time. And that's really interesting, because it says then, we have a part to play in attracting God on the scene. He says, I could do everything, but what I want to do is I want to partner with you. Es muy interesante porque Dios puede hacer todo. Pero él no quiere hacer todo. Él tengo un trabajo para nosotros porque nosotros somos su familia de Dios y él quiere trabajo con nosotros. Entonces, clama a Dios porque esta es su parte en la trabajo de Dios. Your part in the work of God is to cry to him and say, Lord, can you pay attention here? Okay. And then God comes down to deliver. And when he comes down to deliver, well, here's a wonderful thought. Let's turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Juan 3, 16. Because this scripture, we know the scripture, but there's more to this scripture than we usually remember. Sabemos esta escritura, pero hay más de esta escritura. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's lovely. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. But it carries on, okay? Because this is the problem statement. There's death and there's life, and I'm sending Jesus to deliver you from life into death. He's going to kill death, okay? He's going to kill what's holding you captive. But he says, carries on, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Y esta es la condenación, que la luz vino al mundo, y los hombres amaron más las tinieblas que la luz, porque sus obras eran malas. Okay. So the presence of God is going to produce either life or death when you stand in the presence of God. When Jesus came, he produced life for those who loved life, and he produced death for those who loved death. Okay? So the presence of God in our life, speaking of us personally, me personally, when the presence of God comes into my life, it should produce life and death in me.
right?
Life for those things that love God and love the truth, and death for those things that work evil and hate the truth. Okay, in me right now. May the presence of God come and kill the things. And now, you remember, the devil has a vote, God has a vote, and you have a vote. It's a democracy. God let you vote. Okay? The devil's pulling you towards the evil and the death. God is pulling you to life, and you get to decide. You get to decide which part of you dies, whether the part that loves truth dies or the part that loves lies dies. Because God hears and he sees and he comes. And when he comes, he's the destroyer and the deliverer at the same time. Okay? One more thing and we'll close, okay? Let me just summarize that in Spanish. Cuando Dios viene en nosotros, mí mismo, producir vida para la parte de que amo a Dios y producir la muerte para mí, mi carne, que odio a Dios. Y el diablo tiene un voto, Dios tiene un voto, y tú también tienes un voto. Su cuerpo es una democracia en la cual Dios vota para vida para ti. El diablo vota para morir para ti. Y tú tienes la voto que decidir vida o muerte. Uno más. God delivers you so you can be his vehicle to deliver others. Dios libra ti. Entonces tú eres una trabajador para Dios para librar otros. Libre otros. Okay? And so, you are the voice that God hears. For yourself, sure, but also for others. All right? What's more important, to pray for yourself or to pray for others? Okay? How much time do we spend praying, Lord, deliver me from this pain? And how much time do we spend praying, Lord, deliver someone else from their pain? How much time do we spend praying, Lord, deliver me from my sin? How much time do we pray, Lord, deliver someone else from their sin? How much time are we spending praying, Lord, the devil's oppressing me? And how much time are we praying, Lord, the devil's oppressing them? Which is more powerful? Which should we be doing? Well, I'm not going to say don't pray for yourself. But I am going to say this, that Paul prayed for himself because he had a thorn in the flesh. Yeah? And God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Lord, how much more could I do if you remove this? And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Stop praying for yourself. Go pray for others. Okay? So a mature Christian says, oh, look, folks, come on. Babies, mature people, all right? When you get to about, I don't know, maybe 16, 17, depending on the person, you start to realize that you are here as part of a bigger picture. Up to that point, you've just been like, I'm me. I'm hungry. Feed me. I'm thirsty. Give me a drink. I got an owie. give me a hug. I don't recall sisters now asking for hugs. Okay? I mean, if you want to give her a hug, please do. Okay? She is very worthy of hugs. All right? But there she is, picking on you for a moment. Broken wrist, bone going all wrong, surgery ahead of her. And she's like, oh, please pray for me. You know? And now, if it was someone little, they'd be jumping up and down, having tantrums and needing hugs, you know. Well, I hope you weren't. I don't think you were like that. Okay? I know you weren't. But what's that? That's the maturity that we grow into as human beings. Let's apply that same kind of maturity to ourselves as Christians to say, I am not here for what I can gain to myself, to satisfy my appetites, to have my pain taken care of. I am here to help others and to be a channel of God's love, to be the way God hears, the way God sees, and the way God comes for other people. La Cristiana joven, solo el persona joven solo piensa de pensamientos de su mismo. Yo tengo hambre, dame comida, tengo sed, dame agua. Pero cuando está madureza, piensa de otros. Como un humano, también un cristiano. Cuando es joven en el Señor, piensa solo, ayúdame, Señor, ayúdame de este pecado, ayúdame de este dolor, ayúdame contra este diablo. Pero cuando tiene edad en el Señor, ahora cambio sus ora. Ayuda a otro en su dolor. Ayuda a otro en su pecado. Ayuda a otro en su batalla contra el diablo. Eso, en esta manera, el cristiano está las oídas en la cual Dios escucha. Es las ojos en la cual Dios visto. Y es la presencia en la cual Dios venida para ayudar a ellos alrededor. So, God hears, God sees, and God comes down. I know it's been a bit broken up. Had to take a few notes and in Spanish as well. But I hope that's a blessing to you, and it's an encouragement that we are here, brothers and sisters, we are here to, as watchful destroyers, okay? Watching over, watching out for each other. Not that we are the little sheep coming up and attacking the lion, all right? No. But we're the watchful destroyers, and we know that we have the ability to bring God on the scene. All right? For ourselves, yes. But we trust that God is watching over us. God has grace for us. And for others, just in case God hasn't turned his attention on others in the way that we think he should. We say, hey, Lord, you know, please pray for Sister Lanao. She's got a problem with her arm. God says, I'm watching. You know, it's a level 3, maybe. I don't know. But you understand, God sees things differently. But we are here to be his ears. We're here to be his eyes. We're here to be his presence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you hear, that you see, and that you come down. We pray that in the problems in our lives, you would see them. You would come down. You would hear our cries, Lord. May we be not shy in crying to you. And Lord, may you inspire us to be those who recognize the problems in others, and be the vehicle, like Saul, of deliverance to our brothers and sisters in bondage. Father, let us work in faith and not in this fleshly realm. Let us be your faithful servants. Lord, if I've said anything that's wrong or misunderstood, bring it to your light. But the words that you've spoken, may they settle down in our whole souls and just encourage us for the work that we have before us to be your manifestation in this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what I want to sing? You don't. I haven't told you. Do we have that one? I serve a risen Savior. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus liveth today. He walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his love and care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find the love that is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Amen. God is good. He lives in our hearts. He's watching over us. He's taking care of us. He's coming to deliver us. Amen. Micah, would you come forward and dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for another opportunity to come and to worship you and to hear your words to us, Lord. Just want to pray that as we leave here, that you would help those words to settle down in our souls, Lord. And then again, throughout the week, that you would continue to speak to us and continue to really reveal yourself to us, Lord. So I want to pray that you'd keep everyone safe on their way home, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you all.